Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. May your day begin and end with a peaceful sense of the Lord's presence, a quiet heart, and a thankful spirit. I know this morning it was hard for me to get out of bed. I don't know how some of you, if you just really stay in bed sometimes all day, but it was hard. And then when there was no heat for 2 days in my house, I did go to bed quite often and just snuggle in the covers. But now the sun is out, and I noticed that all of the snow is just stacked up in piles. We really got it Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and a lot of snow. But it has almost all melted, except for the huge piles that are in parking lots and that kind of thing. So I'm so glad to be on the air with you today and to tell you of God's love and mercy every moment of the day. He is watching out for us. Let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. Oh, praise God for my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. And when I had so much time this weekend, I went through some of the Bibles. Darren had carried an open Bible, which is a New American Standard, with him when he had Darren's coffee shop. And so I took it out and I looked through all the pages and all of his notations. And oh, what a joy to be able to know that I had a husband who could underline and do all kinds of things to learn the Word of God. That's why he did it, to learn the Word of God. And I want you to be that way too, my friend. It's so important that you do. Oh, praise God. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. If you'd like to look for radio programs or material or newsletters, you can go to freedomstreet.org. And you can click on radio, and you can also donate on that donate button at freedomstreet.org. Freedomstreet.org. One word and lowercase. Praise the Lord. Our memory verse for this week is Jesus' teaching in John 7. Oh, the book of John is just so priceless. There's no price on the book of John. John 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. In the Passion, John 7, I'm going to read 37 through 39. Then, on the most important day of the feast, the last day of the feast, usually the last day is the epic, it's the biggest day, it's the most important day. And Jesus stood and shouted out to the crowds, "All you thirsty ones, come to me and drink. Believe in me so that the rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being," just like the scripture says. Oh, love that. The footnote at the bottom of the Passion, if you have a Passion New Testament, the footnote says, "When man's feasting is over, there is still thirst." I know that after I eat a big meal, for instance, Thanksgiving, I have to drink a lot more because I've eaten so much. And so we're thirsty after we've eaten, especially a lot of food with sodium in it. And we know that that feasting will present thirst, and the thirst is never satisfied. Jesus comes at the last day of the feast to satisfy the thirst of those who seek God. Only the Lord Jesus can quench the spiritual thirst of men by giving them his living water. Rivers of living water will flow from his throne within you. Yes, will flow from his throne within you. A drink becomes a river. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you will have no money. You who have no money. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Oh, from the King James Version. And then in the Message, I love the Word of God. In fact, that's about all I had to do. Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was so fun. I just had a great time. I don't know about you, but I just have a great time in the presence of God. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 in the Message. Hey there. All who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway, buy and eat. Come, buy your drinks, buy wine and milk. Buy without money. Everything's free. Do you know that? The Word of God is free to you. Oh, I know you pay a little bit to buy a Bible, but all that rich and valuable substance in each page of the Bible, it's free for you. Everything's free. Verse 2 of Isaiah 55 says, why do you spend your money on junk food? I know I do. Some of my money, yep, I spent on junk food. Oh, Lord help us. Your hard-earned cash on cotton candy. Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself with only the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I am making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David. Sure, solid, enduring love. Oh, his love. His love, it surpasses anything we have in this life. I know so many people who go across town for the cheapest gas and go grocery shopping at several stores because one store has better meat prices and another store has better produce. And I'm not putting you down if you do that. But do you know that our God will supply your every need by His own workings and plannings for you? So when I go to the grocery store, I'm even asking God about produce that I need or things that I need on the shelf. Because, see, friend, He loves us, and He wants to spend more time with us than we're giving Him. I believe that with all my heart. You may give to have devotions 15 minutes, and then after the 15 minutes, you're off for the day. I've been there. But when we give Him an absolute good portion of the day, wake up at 6 o'clock if you need to and read for an hour. Oh, if you knew that without a shadow of a doubt that He will provide for you no matter what the gas prices are, and He will help you financially when you shop at one place, wouldn't you want to spend less time in the streets going from store to store and spend more time with Him? I suppose that some of you will say, Barbara, I spend time with God while I'm driving. Okay, and in some cases, I know that to be true. But you also know that driving in the traffic in this day and age, you must be so watchful and defensive in your driving that you really don't have time to meditate on God's Word and on His presence. Now, tell me, how much time do you really spend with the Lord in your vehicle? Nowadays, I don't spend a whole lot of time. My confession for today by Rick Renner. I confess that God is mindful of the time, love, patience, and money I have invested as I served Him. Hebrews 6, verse 10 says God never overlooks or fails to remember what I've done for Him. And here is Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints, to the people, your brothers and sisters. So see, God is mindful of what you're doing. And this means I can rest assured that as I work long hours on His behalf, invest my personal energies, give 100% of my heart and soul to my assigned task, and give sacrificially of my finances, God will never forget any of it. He has a book of remembrance. If you read in Malachi 3, He will never forget any of it. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So I'm a candidate for one of His rewards, says Rick Renner, and says all of us. Therefore, I will not get tired of the prospect of serving Him in whatever capacity He desires. I will not give in to discouragement, and I will keep pressing forward to do what God has called me to do, believing that He will take care of me all the way through to the end. All the way through to the end, He's going to take care of you, my friend. And Rick says, I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let God take care of all the limitations in your life. See, when God gave instructions in Numbers 13:2 for Moses to send one man from every tribe to spy out the promised land, he didn't need them to go see if they could take the land for themselves. He said specifically, and see, I think sometimes when we hear a word from the Lord, we think it's a burden on us that we've got to do the whole thing. We got to take care of everything. No. He's the one that takes care of stuff. If we take the first step, he's going to go with us and take care of us to the end. He said specifically to Israel, spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. God already had that planned. God never says anything flippantly or haphazardly. He said he was going to give them the land. So why didn't they believe him? He's God, the one who brought them out of Egypt and supernaturally supplied for them in the wilderness. When Moses heard from God, he instructed the people to do several things. And in Numbers 9, you can see that God was with them all the way, and they did not have schedules as we have today. Well, I get up at 6 o'clock, I have breakfast at such and such, I read my Bible, I have breakfast, and then I go to work, and then I have lunch, and then I come home, do the work in the afternoon, come home. Sometimes it's the same schedule. Well, in Numbers 9, 15 through 23, on the day the tabernacle was set up, God was in the cloud that covered the tabernacle. To keep the people warm at night, God provided a pillar of fire. This was the regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. They would follow the cloud. And wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at God's command through Moses wherever he told them to go. This is not a regular scheduled program, folks. This was absolutely new adventure for the people. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days, so the people would stay for only a few days, as the Lord commanded and led them. From day to day, they did not know where they were going to land. They camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord told them through Moses. God led the people of Israel in the wilderness in an unscheduled way. And the fire by night and the cloud by day guided them spontaneously. I know I'm not one that likes to do things spontaneously. And when I married Darren, I mean, he was always doing things on a spur of the moment, spontaneously. He was always, it's like when I told you when we first started radio, I had these little notes in front of me. And Darren says, all you need, Barbara, is your Bible. That's all you need. We're not taking notes. We're not doing notes. Nope, we're not. And it was always that way. I didn't know what was coming next. And that was not something that I was very fond of. So they were developing, the children of Israel, as well as us today, they were developing a dependence and trust in God's personal and intimate direction rather than routine. We humans long for routine, don't we? We want to know when the next paycheck will arrive and when our next meal will be. I've heard it said many times that children thrive on routine. I'm just not learning that the need for routine is an indication of what our humanity, our flesh, our self-life wants. We have learned that it's just too unpredictable and maybe unsafe to follow unplanned instructions. We like schedules. We like routines. Well, this is where we humans like to surround ourselves with absolutes. These are the things we think we can count on. And we cling to those absolutes most of our life. And if we get out of that schedule, we feel very strange. And sometimes it develops into a stomach ache or even a headache if we have to do something that we're not used to. So often our lack of belief is because we think everything needs to make sense as we walk through life. Like the Israelites, are there some giants you are facing in your life? Sometimes giants look like health issues or financial difficulties. Sometimes they are relationships that have gone sour. But the biggest giants we face are not what we see around us. It's the giant battles going on within us. And we're trapped in old thinking, always looking out for ourselves and our safety. Yep, always looking out for ourselves. Yep. And resistance, we resist because we don't believe. and we feel sorry for ourselves. And oh, that spirit of self-pity comes up when we think that no one else sees us or cares about us. And then when we don't feel forgiveness, we know that bitterness can come in. And when we don't think that something is beneficial for us, we begin to get bitter. And superiority is one thing that we can't imagine anyone else has any better ideas than ours. The list of giants is long. That superiority is something I've had to fight. And it's, I don't know how I thought that I was better than anybody. I never did think that, but I always thought that I had better ideas than everybody else. That's wrong, folks. That's wrong. These enemies of our souls foster a lack of faith and trust, and they hurt our relationships with God. And I had an unexpected event happen this last week. It started snowing on Wednesday and then kept snowing all day Thursday, and no electricity and no heat. Everything was off. Oh, have you ever experienced that? A few hours, or well, like me, for almost two days. That no electricity. My phone was down to 20% because I was going to charge it on Wednesday night, and then the snow began and electricity went off. I couldn't even get my Highlander out of the garage. I was stuck in the house with the snow coming down and no electricity. God is so good. Oh, but God had a plan for those hours I was alone with him. He got to talk to me without any distractions. I'm sure he was shocked. Oh, and that's what he longs for, friends. He says in Jeremiah 1:12, I'm watching over my word to perform it. When morning came, I took those things out of the refrigerator because it was, you know, it was down, it was done, and put them in the snow and emptied my ice maker because it was dripping. And there was a notice from XL Energy that they were looking at 1:30 p.m. Friday for the electricity to come back on. So I waited and waited, praising the Lord. And I must admit, it was an effort on my part not to be anxious or worry. But I kept quoting the scriptures that Holy Spirit put down in my heart and kept praising at the piano. And it was a wonderful, I look back at last weekend, and it was a wonderful vacation for me with God. Well, 1:30 Friday afternoon came and went, no electricity. By that time, my phone had no more charge, and what should I do? I put a coat and cap on and sloshed down and across the street to Rose's house. She's a neighbor, and asked her if I could charge my phone. She was just about to pick up a friend for dinner, but her friend was stuck up on the 15th floor of her high rise. I can't believe this. And the elevator was not working. Rose's husband of 45 years had died just 4 years ago. And oh, she's such a wonderful neighbor. She really is. She's a secular Jew who observes Passover but does not go to synagogue, and then goes to her friend's church for Christmas. And there are a lot of people like that, friends. But you know what God showed me this weekend, too? He showed me John 7, verse 24. Do not judge by appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Whoa, that hit me between the eyes. Okay, no judgment for Ro, no matter what she doesn't do or does do. Uh-uh. So when I entered Ro's house, I noticed a grand piano, a Baldwin piano. I had never, in 20 years, I had never been in Ro's house. We'd spoke in the yard and gardening and everything like that. And she was busy feeding her puppy and getting ready, and I asked if I could play her piano. When she asked me where I learned to play, I told her that Darren had laid his hand on me and prayed that I'd be able to play the piano without paper in front of me, without note paper, to the glory of God. And she took it well. She really did. She looked at me with sincerity, and she was so accommodating. She talked about not knowing Hebrew, because then we got into the Old Testament and how the Jewish people really feel the Old Testament, the Torah, is the jewel of what we call the Bible. And then I told her that Kimberly and her family had been in Israel a year ago for 2 weeks, and she was taking taking Hebrew online. And Ro was very impressed by that. Before I left, my phone was charged. We had a great time visiting. We agreed to go to lunch sometime when the weather was more agreeable. As I walked out of her home with my charged phone, I realized that God wanted that exchange to happen for his benefit. I believe, friend, that little exchange, that little moment that I had with Ro, was why I didn't have electricity. I believe that. I truly do, because I wouldn't have had the opportunity to talk with her and be with her for as long as I did to charge my phone. I had opportunity to tell her about how God had blessed me and provided everything that I need. I believe that I had no electricity and needed a charge on my phone for the opportunity to get better acquainted with my Jewish neighbor, Ro. Oh, why are we afraid to love, friends? Why are we afraid to go out there, step out there, and do something we haven't done before? Oh, I pray that as Ken Miedema sings this song, that we will take those risks, take those moments of being able to talk to a neighbor or say something to a friend at the store. God bless you as you listen.
Am I afraid of losing what I give in love? Am I afraid of giving what's not wanted? Am I afraid you'll use me if I pour out my heart? Afraid of loving only for myself? Am I afraid my love will be untaken? Am I afraid that somehow you will turn me away? Afraid of bleeding? Am I afraid of trying? Am I afraid of crying? Am I afraid of dying? All for love. All for love. And let me stay. Let perfect love work in me, casting out my fears. Teach me not to be afraid to love, no, not to be afraid to love. You know how hard it is.
Why is it so hard to love? We want to be loved. We want to receive love. We want the love of another person putting their arms around us, loving us unconditionally. But we are so limited in our love of giving. When we think in absolutes, they're like inner giants that we're coming against, just like the children of Israel came against those giants in the heathen, in the promised land. They had inhabited the promised land. And they keep us trapped in old thinking. Oh, this weekend I was saying, Father God, just renew my mind with new thinking. I don't want to live the way I have lived with old traditional thinking. Well, we've always done it this way, so it should be okay for the... No. I want some new, fresh anointing, some new, fresh wine into those new wineskins of revelation. Oh, we are less willing to be used of God anytime or anywhere with anyone when we've got those old ways of thinking. Well, I don't want to spend too much time. I've got this appointment. Or I remember when Ann Kimmel, she was a young girl in the late 70s or maybe even middle 70s, early 80s, she would miss a plane trip. She would, to go and help a person who was in the airport, who needed some help, who needed some guidance, who needed some counseling and ministry. And several times she missed her flights. She was a girl that was willing to go out on the limb for someone else. Our own judgments cloud our ability to hear and see the new things God is calling us to do, the new things He's working all around us. This is the very first way we humans were tripped up in the Garden of Eden. We should know better. You know, it seems like we're still stumbling over the Garden of Eden, and thinking we know how to judge whether something is good or it looks bad or I'm through judging. You remember the verse I gave you earlier in the program, John 7, verse 24. Boy, I've read the Bible for over 45 years. And never, it was my time. So if something jumps out at you and the Lord says, this is your time, you need to sit down, you need to go over this, you're no longer judging by appearance. For instance, if somebody comes into the room and they're overweight, do you judge them? If someone comes into the room and they've got torn jeans, they've got piercings, they've got tattoos, do you judge them? Oh, I have been so wrong doing that. Do not judge by appearance, Jesus said, but judge with righteous judgment. And just like in Genesis 3:6, it tells us when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. She saw the tree was good. Who saw the tree was good? Eve did. Saw is advising yourself. When she saw, she was advising herself. She wasn't asking God, God, is there a possibility that I can eat of this tree? Nope. She was boss. She was the proud one, approving and advising herself. Oh, friends, and I'm speaking to myself here. I'm speaking to myself. We need to get out of our own self-focus, our routines, our absolutes on what's good for us, and reach out to a lost world. I don't want Ro to go to hell. I'm going to minister to her when we go to lunch. I really believe those are God appointments that He gives to us for our friends and our loved ones who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, God bless you and keep you. And I hope, hopefully, I'll see you on the program tomorrow. Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.